Want to get the most out of the tread on your tires? Burt Brothers is offering a free alignment check and $20 off any oil change. Book your next service online today or stop by any Burt Brothers location near you and let them get your car ready for the adventure ahead. Burt Brothers, complete auto care done better.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Welcome into the Crimson Corner Podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your host and Utes Insider, Trevor Allen. Thank you guys so much for joining me for another episode of the podcast. You guys can hit me up on Twitter at Trevor A. Sports and also at KSL Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Have a good show for you guys coming up today. We'll talk with Phil Steele, the college football guru. He puts out a preview magazine every single year, and he just released his 2020 edition over the last week, and so we will catch up with him and talk about the Utes, the quarterback battle, the Pac-12, and much, much more coming up as we still continue to wait to see what happens with Utah and in the Pac-12 as far as the football season. We already know that the conference is going to a conference-only schedule for the 2020 season, but are they going to play it in the fall? Are they going to play it in the spring? Are they going 9 games, 10 games, 11 games? How are they going to do this? So hopefully we'll have answers within the next week or so, because the conference did say that they will have schedule details released by no later than July 31st. So we have about 9 days until they will have that announcement to us, at least, and I'm guessing sometime in between that we will get the answers for that. So, and then just to keep you guys up to date on some of the Utes that are in the NFL, the rookies, Bradley Anae and Jalen Johnson have signed their rookie contracts with the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears. And it sounds like, at least as of when we're taping this, Lecky Fotu and Terrell Burgess still need to sign their contracts. But they are starting to report to camp and starting to get their professional careers underway. And then Utah linebacker Devin Lloyd has been named to the Butkus Award watch list, which the award is given to the best linebacker in college football. Really happy to catch up with our next guest here on the Crimson Corner Podcast. We go to a guy who is full of information, a college football guru. He puts out a college football preview magazine out every single year, and it is the absolute best in the entire country. We go to Phil Steele. Phil, how are you, man?
You know, I am doing great, Trevor. How about yourself, my friend?
Doing pretty good. So I just want to take a step back, talking about the Utes from last year. Obviously, 11-win season. You had them pegged to go to the college football playoff, and I feel like had they beat Oregon in that Pac-12 championship game, they would have been there, but obviously lost the last two games, also losing to Texas in the Alamo Bowl. But all in all, what were your thoughts on Kyle Whittingham's team in 2019?
Yeah, they were exactly who I thought they were last year. You go to the fact that they had a great run defense all season long. They had a balanced offense. They sort of dominated teams down the stretch at the end of that Pac-12 title game, and I felt really good about that number one surprise team pick with Utah last year going into that game against Oregon, but a disappointing effort against Oregon. As you mentioned, disappointing finish to the season. So it's a Utah team that I thought had playoff potential. They lived up to it, just came up one game short, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it obviously seemed like that they just could not stop the run game. We knew going into that game against Oregon that it was going to be the battle of the trenches with Utah's O-line and Oregon's D-line, and then the other way around. It was just who was going to win the battle, and it just seemed like Oregon's D-line was too much for Utah to handle.
Yeah, and fourth down conversions hurt a little bit, too, in that game. Utah was going for it a couple of times and came up short, and I thought those were some key plays that switched it around. But, yeah, Oregon had one of the best offensive lines in the country last year. I had them rated as the number one offensive line coming in, and they lived up to that billing, especially in the Pac-12 title game.
As we look ahead to this year, obviously Tyler Huntley, Zach Moss, Bradley Anae and company are gone. Utah will have to fill 9 new starting spots on defense and then 3 key starter positions on offense. I want to start out with a quarterback position. Jake Bentley comes in as graduate transfer, but they've also picked up, and he's now eligible now, Texas transfer Cam Rising. In your magazine, you have a Jake Bentley beating out Cameron Rising in the quarterback battle. Why Bentley over Rising?
You know, it was one of those 51-49 things. You take a look at Bentley. He's a guy that does have more experience coming in. He's got a big arm. He's got SEC experience. He's got the great mentality. And he's a coach's son. He He's a professional, makes good decisions. So he's a QB at 6'4", 220, can definitely do it all. But Cam Rising, this guy is a big, strong kid as well. He's 6'3", 225, great escapability. Bentley was my number 11 rated quarterback out of high school. Rising was my number 15 rated quarterback out of high school. And you know, the thing about Rising, he did well on the scout team last year. So I think what Coach Winningham's got himself in a pretty good situation here, a two-horse race, and he's going to tailor the offense, I think, to whichever quarterback wins it. But it should be a pretty good depth at that quarterback position, which is unusual, because at most schools, when somebody doesn't win the starting job, they transfer. But at least here, we got two guys battling for the job, probably all the way into when we start this thing off.
One of the key things for Utah coming back is that they have a really good O-line coming back with, you know, they only lost one starter in Darren Paulo. But then you look over on defense, they obviously had seven guys drafted into the NFL. Six of them came on defense. And basically you have to fill in a whole new secondary. How big of a challenge is that going to be, especially during this time where Utah didn't have spring ball?
Yeah, and if you're expecting Utah to allow 269 yards per game again like they did last year, then it might be a little bit of a stretch. But there's this one guy, Kyle Whittingham, still the head coach here. And so generally he produces a solid defense, whether he's got a few returning starters or a lot. So despite the fact just two returning starters, you start out with Walla up front at the defensive tackle position. He's a big guy at 6'5", 315. But he's agile, athletic. And I think he's going to step right in and be one of those next great Utah defensive linemen. Coach Whittingham feels they're going to reload on the D-line. And I can see that this year. There's talent up front. And well, as we know, Utah produces an outstanding defensive line. And will it be up to last year's standards? No, it's definitely going to be a step down. But it's still going to be a top-notch D-line. Then you look at Devin Lloyd and Nephi Sewell at the linebacker's positions. I think they're in pretty good shape there. Clark Phillips is a guy, as a true freshman, is going to come in, and I project him as a starter at that nickelback spot. So good in the second level of the defense. The secondary loses a lot. Now, once again, Whittingham's done a good job replacing them, but it's going to be a question mark on the defense. So once again, good defense for Utah. I don't know if it's going to be as exceptional as last year's defense was.
Now, as you go back over on offense, there's, you know, a lot of playmakers coming back, especially at the wideouts. They only lost two guys in that, but obviously bring back Britton Covey and others. What are some of the playmakers you're looking to watch for on Utah's offense this year?
Well, whoever wins quarterback, I think, is going to be a playmaker. And then you're looking at running back. I've got Jordan Wilmore, the running 5'8", 206. He was my number 35 rated running back out of high school. Got him pegged as the starting running back, but Devin Brumfield's right behind him. Ty Jordan, a true freshman, a number 41 rated running back. Texas wanted him. He's got tremendous skill sets. I think they're pretty deep at running back. Now, do I see a Zach Moss, someone that's going to rush for 1,400 yards and 6 yards a carry like last year? No, I don't see that. But I think it's going to be more of a running back by committee, and they'll be productive. If you look at the receiving corps, you know, Brant Keithy is one of the top tight ends in the country. And, you know, then you go to Britton Covey at wide receiver. They've got very dangerous there. Fotheringham is another solid tight end, Brian Thompson. So it's a deep receiving corps, solid offensive line, good quarterback. You know, it's going to be a little different watching Utah. I mean, last year, if you had, you know, you thought of a defensive game coming in, I think Utah's going to be having a potent offense this year, despite the fact they lose, as you mentioned, Boston Huntley.
One of the questions is, how does Utah stack up against the Pac-12? Obviously, they've won the South Division in the last 2 years, wasn't able to get it done in either of the title games. In your magazine, you actually have Utah coming out at number two behind the USC Trojans in the South Division, but many would think that maybe the Sun Devils might have something to say about that. Why Utah ahead of ASU?
I think when you look at Utah, the offenses we touched on, if you go to Arizona State, I've got a couple of questions. The questions would be, maybe at the offensive line, when you look at the offensive line, they only have one returning starter up front, so Utah definitely has a better offensive line. You got to love Arizona State's quarterback in Jaden Daniels, but there are some question marks maybe at the running back spot and not as deep a receiver, even though they have Frank Darby back. They did lose three of their top four receivers from last year. Defensively, they'll be good and right there, but I thought Utah was a better team last year. The teams are sort of equal experience-wise heading into this year. And that's one of the reasons I picked Utah ahead of Arizona State. It was close between the two, but I think that Utah is going to be a legitimate challenger to USC in that South Division.
And then, obviously, the favorite to win the conference is Oregon. I mean, other than losing Herbert, they've reloaded, and they have a really talented team coming back, potentially a playoff team. Is there any team in the Pac-12 who, you know, shocked the world and beat Oregon for that Pac-12 title?
In the Pac-12 North or in the Pac-12 overall?
Overall.
Yeah, I like USC's talent. I mean, USC coming back is loaded. Now, it wouldn't be a shock to the world. I mean, everybody realizes Keaton Slovis, St. Brown and Vaughn's a receiver, one of the best offensive lines in the country. The defense loaded with studs out of high school. I think they're going to really do well. They have nine starters back on D. But if you're looking for a team to come out of the two favorites, which would be USC and Oregon, I would go with Washington this year. And I think Jimmy Lake has got a team where last year he only had two returning starters on defense. This year he's got nine. You know the defense is going to be one of the best in the Pac-12. And while they lose a lot on offense, I mean, their quarterback, Jacob Eason, gone. Top running back, Ahmed, gone. Top two receivers, Brian Fuller, gone. Offensive line completely reworked. You have question marks there, but I think they could be answered. I like Jacob Sermon at the QB spot. Newton looks pretty good at running back. And the offensive line, when I was going over the team with Coach Jimmy Lake, we both had questions of the offensive line going in. But after going through the three deep, they've got good size throughout, average about 320 pounds across. They're going to build a good offensive line. So I think they're a threat to Oregon in the North, and USC would be the overall threat for the Pac-12 title.
Yeah, and I was shocked last year that Washington, because they were obviously supposed to be one of the favorites in the conference, and just really didn't perform to that level. And I think a lot of it was on that defense. They didn't have as much guys, you know, that were veteran pieces, and now a lot of those guys come back, it seems.
Yeah, they were one of the least experienced teams in college football last year, which is why I picked Oregon to win that division. And, you know, Washington actually gave the teams much better, very close games. You look at the Oregon game and the Utah game. Utah, as you remember, Washington's winning that one in the third quarter. The Oregon game, Washington's winning that one in the fourth quarter. And that surprised me a little bit because Washington wasn't an experienced team last year. So they actually played Oregon and Utah closer than I thought. I was sweating bullets in that Utah-Washington game for a good portion of it. As you know, I like to work for the teams that I pick highly in my magazine. So I was a huge fan last year, and Washington gave me a little bit of a scare.
Yeah, that was a little crazy, especially, you know, in that third quarter, they really turned things around. I think a lot of it was when Jalen Johnson had that pick six, completely swung the whole game around. I kind of want to look at the whole picture of the Pac-12. Is this going to be a very competitive league compared to what they have been in past years? I know that they haven't gone to the playoff in a while. Is that getting better, or are they trending in the right direction, or are they just about where they were last year?
Well, I think the Pac-12 played better football than the nation gave them credit for. Last year, I thought, as mentioned, Washington surprised me a little bit is how inexperienced they were, how well they played. I think when you do look at the North, you're looking at some quality teams with Oregon, Washington. Stanford is going to be a vastly improved team this year. I know they only won four games last year, but I do an article every year about my stock market indicator. All arrows are pointing up on Stanford, a much more veteran team, one that was hit hard by injuries. Remember, they had to start a bunch of freshmen on the offensive line last year. They're a much more veteran team this year. And Coach Shaw feels they're going to be a Pac-12 title contender. And then you've got other teams out there in the North like Cal, which always has a good defense, eight starters back again, and 10 starters back on offense. The quarterback, who Chase Garbers, when he started, finished a game, they didn't lose last year. So Cal's a threat, and love the job Jonathan Smith is doing at Oregon State. Used to pick Oregon State last in the division and then move on and try to figure out the other five. But last year they got the 5-7, and they were beat Washington State 53-42 with 4:17 left. They had a ball locked up. They just let it slip away. This year they could kick down the door and get to a ball, and then Nick Rolovich has surprised me at Hawaii. The last 2 years, they did much better than expected, and he is a first-year head coach. He is taking over a brand-new situation. They are learning a new offense, all that factored in, but they could be better than expected. And you touched on USC, Utah, and Arizona State. I think the one gap in the Pac-12 would be in the South. I think those three are clearly the top teams. And then you go to the bottom, UCLA, Arizona, and Colorado. Those three teams, to me, are clearly a step back from the top three. So that would be maybe the weakness of the Pac-12 would be the bottom of the Pac-12 South. But you never know. UCLA could finally get there in Chip Kelly's third year, and Kevin Sumlin also enters his third year. And there's talent at Colorado. But Carl Durrell is one of those first-year head coaches.
Now, do you think that Oregon can make it to the college football playoff?
It's going to be tough this year with the, you know, I think if you have all five Power Five conferences have a legitimate team up top, the fact that Pac-12 is not playing non-conference games, it could go out there and prove it. But let's take the Ducks and say that they beat everybody and beat USC convincingly in the Pac-12 title game, and they're undefeated at the end of the year. Hey, why not? Why not put a Pac-12 team in there? And don't discount USC. USC is a team that has a lot of talent. And, you know, go back and look at a couple of losses that USC had last year. Remember, they beat Utah. They then had a they gave Slovis his first road start the next 2 weeks later at BYU, and they came up just 3 points short in overtime. They gave their third-string quarterback his first road start at Washington, blew two opportunities in the red zone in that game, and ended up losing. And then they lost to Notre Dame by 3 points. A lot of talent for USC. Along with the teams with the coaches, I thought USC and Oregon were the two most complete teams in the Pac-12.
As you look at Utah's schedule, I mean, obviously we don't know how many games they're going to be playing with conference only, but at their old schedule, how many wins did you see Utah having going into the year?
The games I had them a slight underdog in would have been Cal and Arizona State, and USC would have been a toss-up game at home and favored in all the other games. So I think the USC game is pivotal for the Pac-12 title chances, and that's why I consider Utah, despite the losses, despite the fact they're number 127 on the experience chart, being a contender with USC, because USC does face a little bit of a tougher schedule. USC draws Oregon, and they have to play them on the road this year. They also have to play at Utah, and those two factors could go into Utah actually winning the Pac-12 South this year.
Now, I want to look at the broader picture. As we say here in July, who do you think is going to win the national championship come January?
Oh, Trevor, I went way out on a limb on this, my friend. I went with Alabama out of the SEC making the playoff. I went with Clemson out of the ACC. How about Oklahoma out of the Big 12? And Ohio State out of the Big Ten, all four teams making the playoff. How's that for going out on a limb this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that that's it seems like it's either, you know, put in Alabama, or, you know, you usually have that one sleeper team here and there, but I mean, it seems like it's the others all the time, and it's kind of the way college football is.
Utah was my sleeper last year. You want to know who my sleeper is this year?
Who?
We're going to the SEC, taking Texas A&M.
Mm.
Let me give you a couple reasons why. Last year when I went over the team with Coach Fisher, two things stood out to me. The first thing is they played a brutal schedule, and as it was, they took on three teams that were ranked number one. Number one, Clemson. Then when they played Alabama, the Tide was number one in the country. Then when they played LSU at the end of the season, LSU was number one in the country. They also took on the number four and the eight ranked teams in the country. So they took on five top ten teams last year. And I remember going over the team with Coach Fisher last year, and two things stood out. The schedule. The second thing was the fact they had very few seniors, so it was a young team. And I said, Coach, I'm going to put you on my national cover next year. Well, next year's here. And guess what happened? They're a more veteran team. They have 17 returning starters, veteran quarterback in Kellen Mond. They're more talented, more experienced than last year. The second thing is the schedule. It drops to number 66 in my schedule rankings. They might play one top 10 team all year long. So keep your eyes on the Aggies. They could sneak in there. They have to do what LSU did last year, which is going to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, which is why I didn't pick them necessarily to be the Final Four, but I think they have the talent and the schedule to be that sneaky team that sneaks in there.
Something you vote on is the highest award in college football, and that is the Heisman Trophy. Obviously, Justin Fields is a guy out there, as well as Trevor Lawrence. Who are your early favorites to win the Heisman?
Yeah, those would be my top two favorites. Naturally, if you're a quarterback for an undefeated team, putting up big stats. You know, with Justin Fields, he had everything. He had all the intangibles you want. The only thing I wondered about last year was, can this guy read a defense? And then as it was, he had 41 touchdown passes and three interceptions. Well, guess what? This guy can read a defense. So that was a point. And I've got Ohio State winning it all this year, so I've got Justin Fields winning the Heisman. And then Trevor Lawrence is a guy who last year maybe took a few chances early. Maybe he felt invincible. He had eight interceptions in the first seven games. But then all of a sudden, the last seven games, 22 touchdown passes, zero interceptions. Clemson's got a schedule where they'll be favored in every game. I think those two are your top two favorites. Other names to toss out there, Sam Ellinger at Texas, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma. You got to have an Oklahoma player on your list, right?
Yeah.
Quarterback, I should say. Chuba Hubbard of Oklahoma State, who had a couple thousand yards last year, and Keaton Slovis of USC, also in the mix this year.
Keaton Slovis, I like that pick. I mean, as far as a dark horse, I think that he could have a really special year, especially because they only lost, I think, one big weapon at wideout for the Trojans. But I also think that this is kind of the year where Clay Helton's got to win now in order to keep his job.
Yeah, he's been on the hot seat the last couple of years. In fact, some people were amazed that he didn't get fired last year. But and if they can stay healthy, unlike last year when they suffered a lot of injuries, then I think they have a threat to really make some noise this year.
Well, Phil, something that I've loved about this, you know, you've put out the magazine at a really good time because, you know, people are still in quarantine and things like that. And a great thing to pass time is to catch your magazine. So if fans haven't gotten a hold of it yet, which I don't know what they're thinking if they haven't, where can they find your college football preview magazine?
You know, and the big thing this year is that it's a different distribution than in past years. In past years, Trevor, we put out a couple hundred thousand magazines. They've been everywhere, grocery stores, every bookstore, Walmarts, Walgreens, places like that. But don't go to those places this year because they're not there. The only places that they're out in stores is Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. So if you go to a Barnes & Noble or a Books A Million, you can get the magazine there. And if you don't have one in the area, you can go to philsteele.com. That's S-T-E-E-L-E.com. We only printed 50,000 magazines this year, so a lot less magazines. Go to philsteele.com to get it, or Barnes & Noble, Books A Million are the exclusive dealers this year.
And you guys can also follow Phil on Twitter at philsteele042. Phil, it's always good to catch up with you, and hopefully we'll have a lot of college football to talk about throughout the year. Thank you so much for joining me.
Sounds great, Trevor. Always good talking football with you, my friend.
And there you go. That was Phil Steele. Make sure you guys check out philsteele.com. I ordered his digital version, and it's just as good as the book itself. So I would recommend going over to philsteele.com and order yourself a copy of the College Football Preview magazine. It's always good to catch up with him. He's such a wealth of knowledge and puts a lot of work into these preview magazines each and every year. Tries to talk to every single coach in college football. So I'm glad that I was able to catch up with him. I've known Phil for the last few years and have gotten to know him, and he's always a great guest to talk college football with. So make sure you guys check out his stuff at philsteele.com. Well, that will do it for this edition of the Crimson Corner Podcast. Make sure you guys check out kslsports.com. And follow me on Twitter at Trevor A. Sports and at KSL Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next time, you've been listening to the Crimson Corner Podcast, as always powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.